This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Eric Chiafalo. We got Jacob Ray. We're going to hear from Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks in just a minute. But before we get to any of that, I was hoping to tell you just a few more things. All right, I want to go back to baseball. I'm going to say I'm not particularly surprised, but Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani are the two top vote getters for the completion of phase one of the All-Star balloting. Fair to say, Eric, that you are also not shocked by this information.
That is fair, Hagee. That is fair.
Good to know. And unfortunately, it's still looking kind of rough for a whole lot of Rangers players when it comes to the voting.
Listen, man, I think that's how it should be. All right. No free lunches out here. You got to earn the right.
They haven't convinced you that they're worthy of it just quite yet. All right. Something a little bit more serious. Wander Franco.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Wander, man.
Let's have a quick conversation about it. So, did you see all the stuff that got handed down yesterday? He was found guilty, and I believe it was technically sexual abuse of a minor, and that is going to get him a theoretical 2-year stay in prison.
Theoretical.
Now, the reason why I say theoretical is because it's a kind of a deferred sentence. And so essentially it's like more like probation. And so if he does not break the law, he will never have to go serve those 2 years of the sentence, which is the way I understand it. So his time served already. That's it.
Okay.
For Wander Franco. Now, the mom of the girl in question, she was sentenced. Oh, we got Cooper Flagg and the Dallas Mavericks ready to go right here on The Fan. They're still working on it.
Hello?
See?
We good to go? All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming. Really appreciate you guys for showing up. I'll say a few things and then we'll get to the questions. What an amazing day for the fans of Dallas, for the city of Dallas, and then also for the franchise. Kelly, Ralph, I want to commend you on the job you've done with Cooper, not only putting the ball in his hands, but the person that you've raised. Everybody that I talk to, whether it's the coach, he talks about when I can coach my best player hard, my job's easy. So, Jay Kidd, you can coach him hard.
Cool.
His teammates, the first thing they say is he's the most competitive. He's the best teammate I ever had. The people that are around the team, the support staff, like, he's not entitled. He just wants to be part of the group. When you talk about building a championship culture and you talk about winners, those are the things that are made of. And so just want to commend you on the job you've done, because he's more than just a basketball player, and that's why he's so special. And with that, I'll open up the questions.
Welcome to Dallas, Cooper. We're happy you're here. First question, you're a versatile two-way threat. If you had to pick, would you rather make a big block or posterize someone with a dunk?
Oh.
Great question. That's a good question. I think maybe a posterized dunk. I feel like, you know, there's a lot of energy that goes with a play like that.
All right, thank you.
Cooper, Mike Curtis, Dallas Morning News. Welcome to Dallas. Shortly after the Mavericks got the number one pick, there was a video that surfaced of you, 13, 14 years old, in a Mavericks shirt. Could you just give us the context behind that moment and that decision to wear that shirt, and what did you know about the franchise growing up in Maine?
I think I was 13 years old. I had a really good friend who's a diehard Mavericks fan, and he's a little older than me, and he had kind of outgrown some of his clothes. So he lent them down to me. And at the time, you know, you're just wearing what you can, you know, going through, wearing clothes. And I love basketball, and so I just put it on and went for my workout.
And then do you know the summer league plan for you at all? I know it's still pretty early, but yesterday they announced that the Mavericks are going to be playing the Lakers. Just wanted to know if you had any plans.
I'm not exactly sure on a plan. I'm planning on playing. but, yeah, I'm not sure on any sort of plan. I don't think we've had any of those conversations yet.
You seem so excited to see Knipple and Malawach both get drafted. What does the success of your teammates mean to you, and how are you going to take that to the NBA?
Absolutely. I think it means everything to me, especially those two guys. They're the greatest teammates, the greatest people, you know, that I've had the privilege of spending time with. Khan was my roommate all year, and then Kaman. Me and him have a really special bond on and off the court. So I think just being able to see that for them was really special for me. They mean a lot to me, and I think it's just such a dream come true for all of us that it was just really exciting for me.
Tim McMahon, ESPN. There's a statue of Dirk outside the arena. Obviously, he was the face of this franchise for a long time. He kind of handed the baton to Luka. The anticipation is he would have been the face for a long time. Plans changed. There's now that anticipation for you. How do you feel about kind of that lineage and the responsibility that comes with those sort of expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I'm coming in just trying to learn and trying to get better every single day. And I think if I can do that to the best of my ability, I think expectations and pressures that other people, you know, will put on me and our team, that will kind of work itself out. So, you know, I'm just trying to come in and be the best that I can be and just win at the highest level.
Hey, Cooper, Christian Clark with The Athletic. You know, a lot of number one picks, you know, they're joining situations where it's gonna take a while to be competitive. What are your thoughts on coming into a situation where, you know, they got a lot of, you know, talent and veteran pieces already on the roster and kind of built to compete right now?
Yeah, I think it's a blessing. Like you said, a lot of people in this position or the situation aren't, you know, granted this opportunity. So I just feel really blessed and grateful for the situation I've been given. And I'm just looking forward to being a sponge, you know, just getting down here. I'm excited to just learn, soak it all in and learn from the guys that are older and have been through it all before.
Cooper, Joey Mastretta with Clutch Points over here. We talked to Paige the other day, Paige Beckers, and she said that she gave you a hard time for going to Duke instead of UConn. Want to get your thoughts on that, and then also just her overall game. What do you think about her game with her playing in Dallas as well?
Yeah, I mean, she's great. Obviously, I went on a visit to UConn, and, you know, I was able to meet her when I was on my visit and talk a little bit. She's a great person. She's had an incredible career so far. But I think it's funny. I mean, that's just kind of how that, you know, back and forth college stuff goes. So I think it's funny. But, yeah, she's a great player. She's had a great career, and she's a great person.
Skylar Dixon with the AP. Cooper, this is quite the scene. The hoopla is only going to probably go up from here. How does being at a program like Duke, a storied program like that, help you sort of deal with what this is today and what you're going to face going forward?
Yeah, I think you know, being able to go to Duke and be under that spotlight, it's kind of a good preparation. And then even nowadays with the NIL era and stuff like that, college kids are kind of under a bigger microscope than ever. So I think it's a great preparation, honestly, for me to kind of come to the next level. And I've had a year to kind of deal with a lot of that stuff and the media and all that different stuff. So I think it's just great for me to kind of have that year of preparation.
Hey, Cooper. Cooper, Sam Gannon, Fox 4, congratulations. I know you're a fan of the lobster roll, but now coming to Dallas, are you ready to embrace the Texas barbecue and Mexican food scene?
For sure. I love Mexican. I love barbecue, so I'm excited to, you know, find some good spots.
Hey, Cooper, Landon Thomas, Mavs Fans for Life. Not a lot of number one picks have the luxury of playing with future Hall of Famers when you have Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Anthony Davis. What excites you about that?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, just being able to be a sponge. Those guys have so much knowledge. They've been through so much, and they have so much experience that it's just going to be an incredible opportunity for me to learn and grow under them.
Cooper, Brad Townsend, Dallas Morning News. Fans and media alike have been trying to pencil you into the lineup, unsure whether guard, forward. What do you primarily see yourself playing, you know, after talking to Jason?
I think it's a versatile position, you know, doing a lot of different things. I think, you know, with the team, looking at the roster, we can play a really good brand of positionless basketball with a lot of guys that can do a lot of different things. So I think that would be one of, you know, the biggest strengths, and I think just trying to play to that and just doing whatever I can to help the team win.
Jason, Eddie Sefko, Mavs.com. You've been and have been around a lot of young, talented players. How do you go about molding Cooper and bringing him along to become the star that everybody thinks he will be?
Yeah, I think just from past experiences, being in this seat, you know, being one, but just sitting here listening to him, is it incredible? I mean, we're talking about an 18-year-old who has all the right answers and is talking about working out after this. But, you know, when you talk about his gift, he's a basketball player, and he's a winner. And I thought he answered the question about position perfectly because I don't look at the position. You know, I want to put him at the point guard. I want to make him uncomfortable and see how he reacts, being able to run the show, being able to play the two, play the three. He's comfortable playing that, but we want to push. And I think he's going to respond in a positive way. It's all right to fail. It's all right to turn the ball over. We've talked about that. You know, just understanding the guys that I've been around that have been young, from Giannis, giving him the ball, and he failed. But he wanted to come back and have the ball. So I'm excited about giving him the ball against the Lakers and see what happens. Let's get it started right off the bat. But, you know, I think just his poise, he's going to be successful for a long time. He likes to work. He's not afraid to work. And he comes from a great family. So I'm very blessed, and the Mavs are very blessed to have him a part of the family.
Cooper, Dorothy Gentry, iMessenger Media. Two fun questions for you. Who's on your Mount Rushmore for NBA and WNBA players? And what's your favorite basketball movie and why?
My favorite basketball movie is Hoosiers. You know, that was one of my favorite movies growing up. I watched it hundreds of times. My Mount Rushmore of NBA players, I would say Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, LeBron, and probably Kobe. And then WNBA, Candace Parker, Brittany Griner, I think Asia Wilson is on there. And then I might put Caitlin Clark on there just because she's changed the game so much and is heading in the right direction. And I just love what she's been able to do.
In the back, Nuri Scruggs, NBC5. Question for you, Jason. Having sat in that seat before when you were drafted number two overall, knowing the expectations that the fan base has and representing Hope, what's the one bit of advice that you could give Cooper that maybe you didn't have when you first came to town with all the hope and hype being a number one pick?
Yeah, I think he brought it up earlier. He's very lucky to have veterans, future Hall of Famers. When you talk about Kai and Clay and then AD, just understanding the vets are going to, you know, protect him and help him, and they're going to push him. When I was drafted, we were maybe the youngest team. When you talk about Jimmy and Jamal, we just didn't have a lot of vets. I know Mo Wiley's here. No disrespect, he was a vet. but we didn't have future Hall of Famers. So I think when he's stepping into this situation, there's no better situation.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or men'steaclinic.com.
From him to learn the game on and off the floor.
Jonah Javad here with WFAA. Cooper, your parents are front row and have been an integral part of your journey, I'm sure. Was there a moment growing up in childhood that you remember when they kind of really fostered your love for the game?
As soon as I can remember. I always had a ball in my hands. As soon as I was able to shoot outside, we had an outdoor hoop, you know, mom, dad outside playing pig with us, shooting around with us, just kind of having the ball in our hands at a really young age. So they're definitely, you know, the people that did that, and, you know, I'm very thankful that they did.
Cooper, Lawrence Dow of Fort Worth Star-Telegram, you chose the number 32. Can you talk about what went behind that choice of jersey number?
Yeah, so 32 has always been my number. I wore it as a little kid, wore it in middle school, high school. Last year, obviously, it's retired for Christian Laettner, so I wasn't able to wear it, but I'm just excited to get back to my number.
Cooper, Faith Knight with D210 Sports. Being the second youngest draft number one pick overall behind LeBron James, what advantage do you feel you possess that has helped you get to this point in your career?
I think just having incredible people around me. I have a really good support system and group of people around me that have, you know, helped me make decisions and things like that. Starting with my parents and my brothers have been with me every step of the way and kind of helped me to get to where I am in every way. So I think just having incredible people around me is really the biggest thing that's helped me to get to where I am.
Abby Jones, DLS Sports. Cooper, welcome to Dallas and congratulations. This is a two-part for Cooper and Jason. Your team, your experience with Team USA and playing there, you know, how has that kind of contributed to how you're going to transition into in the NBA? And then Jason, you know, with your experience with Team USA as well and the Olympic staff, as a player and now a head coach, how are you able to, you know, manage Cooper and meet him there?
Yeah, I think that experience was, you know, really important for me. It was such a good learning experience for me to just be able to go out there and share the court with 12, 13 Hall of Fame caliber players. So I think it was just incredible for me to get on the court, get comfortable, and see what that was like. So I think that will help me make this transition and just being confident in myself.
Hey, Cooper. Pat Doney with NBC here in Dallas. Welcome to Dallas here in the middle. Everyone around you talks about your competitiveness and that you've always been driven by being great from a young age. I'm curious, what is it that drives you and what are your expectations when it comes to now your NBA career to not make this the highlight of your career, getting to the NBA, being the number one pick?
Don't forget that question. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I think the competitiveness, I think it just started from a young age, playing with my brothers, playing with my mom in the driveway, you know, fostering that competitive spirit and just loving to win. I think that's, you know, a really big part of it is just loving to win. And that's why I play the game. I play to win, play to compete, play to play really hard. And so those are the reasons that I love the game and I fell in love with the game. And I think that's what's kind of created that competitive spirit and drive.
Noah Weber from the Smoking Cuban. Cooper, welcome to Dallas. This is a question for both you and Coach Kidd. Cooper, from your conversation so far with your head coach and your general manager, what do you think that Mavericks culture is and how can you add to that? And Coach Kidd, with how you know Cooper so far, how do you think that he can add to Mavs culture and what y'all have built?
Yeah, I think obviously something that's talked a lot about is, you know, being a two-way guy, the culture of playing both sides of the ball, playing really hard, making the right plays all the time. So I think that's something I'm able to do, you know, at a high level, just make the right plays and play both sides of the ball.
I think when you talk about the culture, about winning, as he's just brought up, you know, he's going to do whatever it takes to win. He might have 10 points one night and two steals, but just understanding that it's all about the W's. And so the culture here in Mavs land is about winning, and it's about winning a championship.
Cooper, Grant Avseth from DallasHoopsJournal.com. What do you feel like you improved the most during your season at Duke, and what are some of the focuses in your development right now as you put in reps?
Yeah, I think just getting comfortable with the ball in my hands. Coach Shire really trusted me with that right away. And, you know, I had to go through some mistakes, some trials, some tribulations, and just figure it out. But Coach Shire never went away from me, never stopped trusting me. And I think that that's kind of what helped to just really get me comfortable throughout the year and get really efficient.
Michelle Montaigne, WFAA. This one's for Nico. Obviously a great draft, but there was a consensus number one in this one. How does having Cooper change the trajectory of the franchise? And then for Jason, what's the best part of getting to coach a player like this who's just 18 years old?
So, Michelle, I think how it changes the trajectory, you know, we're in win now mode, and so he adds to that. But he's also the future of the franchise. So I think you get two in one, so to speak. So it's you know, a perfect storm for us.
To be able to coach the number one pick, I think we're all blessed and excited. To have the opportunity to coach a young man like this is exciting. And going to the drawing board, as I said, trying to get him to be uncomfortable quickly to see how he handles it. And that's, you know, hopefully running the point guard for us and putting him in different situations. But I'm excited to have someone like this to help us win.
Rashad Miller, Dallas Weekly. Of course, you brought up Christian Laettner earlier. Just talk about him and just the former and current Mavericks that have played at Duke. Just, you know, just what they mean to you. And also you being part of the new generation with your brothers that you just played with.
Yeah, I think it's incredible. Obviously, starting with Duke, you know, the path. And I look at that, I looked at past players, and that went into my recruitment. Obviously, watching Tatum and Paolo and Zion and some of those guys that kind of had the hype and went through it and went to Duke and were able to develop and get to the next level. That was huge for me. And I think obviously having, you know, a bunch of people from the Brotherhood, you know, here, Kyrie, D-Live, like that's just huge connections that can help me to, you know, be comfortable and have those connections already built.
Sean Giggy, WFA. Cooper, you look just to last week. You see the Thunder, the second youngest team to win an NBA championship. Pacers also one of the youngest teams in the league. You're about to help some kids with basketball after this. You're arguably closer in age to the kids you're about to help than many of your teammates. How do you think your youth is going to help a team like this? And do you also think they're, what some of the drawbacks are to being so young?
I'm not sure how, you know, my age will play into it, but I'm just excited to bring my game to the table and just, you know, bring the energy, both sides of the ball and just, you know, try and impact winning in a lot of different ways. I don't really know what the hardest part will be. I guess we'll find out pretty soon.
Hey, Cooper, Christian Clark here with The Athletic. I think you were 4 years old when Kyrie got drafted, 5 when AD. I was just curious, I mean, do you remember anything from those guys' college careers? Like, do you have any memories or anything like that?
No, I didn't watch them in college at all. But, you know, growing up, I got to see them, you know, shine and, you know, play in the league a lot. And those are the two guys that I was able to watch a lot of growing up.
This is a question for Cooper right here. So you grew up with a twin brother. I'd like to hear, what would you say that your favorite basketball stories with him, and how has he pushed you to become the best player that you are today?
I would say, you know, some of my favorite stories would just be, you know, competing and playing in the driveway. You know, countless times, thousands of hours just spent competing, playing one-on-one against each other. You know, I'd say over half the time it ending in a fist fight and somebody running inside and, you know, going to their room. But I think just those memories of, you know, being kids and just enjoying to compete and play against each other, you know, during the summer and whatnot outside at our house.
Mike Curtis, Dallas Morning News. Cooper, when you look back at your rookie season a year from now, what do you hope people say about you?
I would say just they would talk about how I was able to impact the game. I want to be a really high impact player and just impact winning at a really high level.
Cooper, Abby Jones, DLL Sports. Jason Kidd talks about your work ethic and wanting you to be in those uncomfortable situations. What are you looking forward to about your first season in the league and maybe the uncomfortable situations he's kind of talking about, how you can grow and expand in your game?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I say, just learning, growing, and getting better through all the challenges and obstacles that are going to present themselves. I'm just looking forward to going through the season and learning. But I mean, it's something that Coach Shire talked a lot about last year. The obstacle is the way, and not, you know, hiding from anything. There's going to be a lot of challenges. So just being ready to, you know, face challenges and overcome them.
Ron Murray, K104, this right here. This question for Coach Kidd and Cooper. Coach Kidd, you see how the NBA is evolving with different ball handlers, not necessarily the pure point guard era. So just your thoughts and what you'd like to see from Cooper going into this. And Cooper, you know, what do you like to do off the court, like when it's not strictly basketball?
Yeah, I think being able to have Cooper, he can handle the ball as he's brought up. As we go forward this summer and throughout the season is to try to get the ball in his hands as much as possible so they become comfortable running our offense. And then when you have multiple guys out there that can dribble and pass, it just makes the game simple and easy.
Cooper, over here, Leslie McCaslin with Dallas Mavericks. I'm curious, obviously you didn't get to watch him play when you were younger, but what do you know about your head coach's playing career, if anything?
It was in black and white, so definitely didn't see it.
No, I mean, I didn't get to watch it a ton. I'm going to have to freshen up, you know, do my research. But I think, you know, everybody talks about how legendary of a player he was. So I think, you know, I'll have to watch some more and figure that out. But he was a killer, so.
Thank you.
A winner.
Thank you.
Roe Parish, CBS, Texas. Cooper over here, right this way. So talk a little bit more about the brotherhood and your relationship with D-Live. Could you go into that a little bit deeper?
Yeah, I think Derek came back during last year when we were, you know, in the preseason part of everything. And, you know, just being around, he was present. We were able to talk to him, hang out with him on and off the court. So I think it was really cool, you know, just to meet him and kind of build a relationship with him. He's a really, really cool guy. So I'm just excited to continue to build a relationship with him and be able to share the court with him as well.
Nico Harrison, Newey Scruggs here, Channel 5. Drafting Cooper Flagg, obviously fans have been happy. They're buying the jerseys. Do you think this helps heal part of your relationship and the fans after everything this past season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it will help. Most importantly, I think it just, you know, we're in win now mode and we have a really good team and Cooper adds to that. So I think the fans finally start to see the vision.
This question is for both Nico and Coach Kidd. I'm just curious, when did you ever watch or see Cooper play in person and what were just your initial impressions of him?
Well, when I first watched him play, my first impressions were, wow, it'd be great to have the number one pick. just the way, I mean, he impacted the game on both sides of the ball, and he played super hard. And so that was my initial reaction. And again, you know, us not thinking we would have a chance to draft him, I didn't put too much stock into it. It was more of a dream.
Cooper, you've played at a lot of different areas and environments, the toughest competition. We've seen footage online that you've played at Rucker Park, the streetball capital of the world in New York. What are your thoughts about how well you played there? Your personal thoughts?
I mean, I think just competing. You know, some of those events sometimes you get away from, you know, real basketball and real competition. But I think just being myself, competing at a high level and just trying to win.
Cooper, Brad Townsend from the Dallas Morning News again. I'm sure in the last 48 hours there's been a lot of wow moments. I really am a pro walking across the stage. I wondered about, it looked like you had pretty good accommodations on your flight here. And I was wondering if you could just describe that and your impressions of Patrick Dumont.
It's been incredible. Like you said, it's been really shocking. You know, a surreal feeling still. Just being here, you know, being in these moments. But I think it's been incredible, and I think, you know, being able to meet Patrick and his family was incredible. They have an incredible family, so I'm just looking forward to, you know, continuing to build a relationship with them.
Dorothy Gentry, iMessenger Media, right down here again, Cooper. Two more fun questions for you. What's on your playlist? What kind of music do you listen to? One, and then three things that you cannot live without.
As far as music goes, I'm not huge into music. Never on the aux, so. So whatever, you know, whoever I'm with, my teammates, whatever they want to listen to, I'll listen to whatever. And three things I can't live without, I would say golf, basketball, and my family.
Just two more questions.
Over here.
Yeah. Jonah Javad, WFAA.
Actually, two-parter now that you bring up golf. One, what's your handicap, and are you looking forward to playing to the with the two guys next to you? And two, what have you known about Texas and maybe the DFW area, whether it's from talking to D-Live or Kyrie or your high school teammate, Liam McNeely, who's from Richardson?
Yeah, so I think I'm around a 13, 14 handicap, and I'm looking forward to playing them as long as they'll give me some strokes. So that is part of that. And then I would say, as far as the area, you know, obviously, like you said, my old teammate Liam, you know, is from this area, and I was able to visit him a little bit, and I've been through the area a little bit, but it's an incredible area. It's really beautiful. I'm excited to learn the city a little bit more.
Cooper here in the back, 33 Sports, Daniel Estevez. Jonah kind of took the thunder with the golf question, but I'm curious, you are in Dallas, Scottie Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, Bryson DeChambeau. Perhaps if you get a chance to play with them, maybe you can take these guys sitting next to you. Are you planning on playing with some of the big stars in golf?
I don't know if I'm good enough for that, but that would be an incredible experience for sure.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. One more thing. We're going to do pictures.
I don't necessarily know if we need live coverage of the picture situation.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think it'd be more fascinating?
I didn't say that. Guys, do you have thoughts?
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 GO Men's T or mensteclinic.com.
Thoughts about the press conference, because I do want to point out one particular thing, and this is in all seriousness, from the two, and then we can get to the other stuff.
Okay, cool.
From the 214. What the F did Nico just say? Starting to see the vision. I do think it was a bold statement for him to kind of insinuate, if not flat out say, now that we have Cooper Flag, I hope you all see the vision. And I'm like, okay, but you also said you didn't give Cooper Flag any more thought because you're like, it sure would be neat if we had the number one pick. So I don't think you get to include Cooper Flag in part of your vision. I've said this many times. I hope the Dallas Mavericks win the title this year, but I don't know if it will just be because of the vision of Nico Harrison, unless he wants to tell us but just can't, that getting Cooper Flag was part of the deal for Luka. And then if that's the case, then I get it. Then I appreciate all of the vision talk.
Fans can finally, you guys can see the vision, something that I have been seeing for months now.
Right.
You guys can finally get on board. Welcome to my reality as Nico Harrison. That was hilarious, though. A lot of people are calling him the next Wyatt Langford from an interview standpoint, from a personality at the microphone standpoint.
Wyatt Langford's gotten a lot better. But
really, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, because we had him about 6 weeks ago in the G-Bag Nation. Strokes.
Kind of sounds like that's your fault.
He did. Actually, I did screw that interview up a lot.
So
I have to own a lot of that. But
I think the breaking point, Chiafalo, can I guess for you, was the what kind of music do you like? And he goes, I'm not really into music. It looked like the look on your face of like, come on, dude.
That was definitely the breaking point when he was like, yeah, that whole music thing, I never really got on board with it. so many people, because I was actually waiting. I was thinking to myself, okay, of all the dumb questions that are being asked, which one would have been mine?
Sure.
And one of them would have been, what gets you going? Like, what's in the earbuds
when
you're getting ready for a tip-off?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a pretty awesome question, and he just shot it down. Like, music is just simply not for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I did think that was kind of funny. Look, I think he's been media trained a whole lot, which is good because, like, look, we talk about those all the time. I personally like it when athletes speak out about, like, Tyler Shuck the other day when he was like, hey, you know what? If I effing suck or we're 0-2, I'm not going to freak out about it. Like, I love that kind of answer, but
yeah, he must have had a different trainer.
Yeah.
Because some trainers, apparently, you walk into class and they take a vacuum and just suck the personality right out of your body. They say, all right, you're ready.
So
go get him, kid.
If you want to text in the most heard, look, the most heard words in the press conference going into it, we said probably blessed. sponge,
bing.
Grateful,
bing.
Oh, there's at least two more. I'm trying to think of maybe learn, but again, some of those
compete.
Compete. You know, the one question I was disappointed in, I wanted Tim McMahon to go all the way and ask if he'll get a statue out in front of the AAC. Because when he was like, Dirk's got a statue, we all thought Luka was going to get a statue, yeah. Which I love that part. I was like, do it. Ask him if he'll get a statue out in front of the American Airlines Center. Because I get it. Like, if he came out and said, yeah, that's the plan, I'm sure there would be plenty of people who would crush him and be like, this entitled kid's never even played in the NBA. So I get why you wouldn't want to reveal too much, but that was pretty dry.
Yeah, which is somewhat disappointing, but also this guy is just all ball, man.
Yeah.
He's just a thoroughbred ball player.
Oh, that was one of my questions. In the minivan, when you were watching the 85-86 Celtics, what led to them? Why not go with some Showtime Lakers? Did you ever consider the 76ers with Dr. J and Moses Malone? And like something like that. I don't know if that would have gotten me anywhere. But like that lady with the fun questions, she thought she was about to blow that whole press conference wide open.
I think that would have made him uncomfortable.
Is that your Jason Kidd impersonation?
I want to make him uncomfortable.
And that was in terms of handling the ball.
Yeah, handling.
Stop it.
The rock.
Stop it.
The point guard stuff, that was a crazy pause. Go ahead. Sorry, Cooper. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
Give me some strokes.
No.
That was about golf, you jerk.
I feel like that was you just telling me what to do, not even just asking me.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. You know what? I feel like we haven't got enough football in. Cowboys positional battles and roster spots to watch. Also, do you remember what Cooper said his WNBA Mount Rushmore was? Because
no.
She asked that question and then she was like, and WNBA. Just to be fair. We'll do that next right here on The Fan.
Line drive to Turpin and it bounces through his legs. Here he comes. Kevontae Turpin spinning free. Here he goes. Fastest man. Turpin takes it all the way. Touchdown, Dallas.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. I want to make this very clear. I love Cooper Flagg. Me and my wife went to New Jersey to go watch him in the regionals, and then we went to San Antonio to watch the Final Four. I love Cooper Flagg. Follow up. If we had him on air, do you think I could get him to laugh or break the ice with this first question? Cooper, do you think if both your arms were on the same side, instead of a T-shirt, they would call it an F shirt?
I'm not really big into shirts. I feel like that's exactly how that would go.
But again, I want to make it clear. That was messed up. I love Duke basketball, and we legitimately went to New Jersey and then San Antonio to see Duke and to see Cooper Flagg. I could not conceivably be more excited that he is part of the Dallas Mavericks. All right, Dallas Cowboys, let's talk about it from the 972. 0% chance you can get him to laugh.
I'm not really huge into laughing.
That's fair. Shut up. I see what you're doing. It was that music question I told you that broke Giafalo. He's like, I'm done.
That is an unbelievable quote.
All right.
I'm not really big into music.
I've got some Cowboys, maybe positional battles, maybe roster spots to watch as we're now just a few weeks away from training camp. All right. Let me start with this, Eric. Giafalo, Do you think Mafa could be a practice squad running back this fall, or do we go back to something that Mashota said and maybe they're like, the hell with it, let's find a spot for him on the roster with Sanders, Javonte, and Blue?
Yeah, I think this is wide open. This is wide open, and we see every year there's late round or undrafted or whatever type of rookie running backs that can sort of come out of nowhere and make a bit of an impact. So I'm in no way writing him off, especially with the status of this running back room and how there's no one that is really bringing you a ton of confidence in the position. So I think this is all up for grabs. And a guy like Mafa with young, fresh legs could easily, like I saw people talking about, like, could he be a LeGarrette Blount? Could he be a like what Leonard Fournette ended up being? Of course, the hype for Leonard Fournette was much bigger than what he ended up being, but still a serviceable, bigger body back between the tackles. Can Maffa be that for you? I think there's a real chance of that, and I'm pulling for it. I always want to be as young and cheap as possible at the position.
Okay, well, then let's go to this, because not both of these players are young and neither are particularly expensive. What does that mean for Deuce Vaughn and Hunter Lipke? I think it's great that they tried him out at tight end, or like we're just checking out a couple things. But what does that mean for those two?
I think the Lipke stuff could be real. You can find a way to make him work. He's a special teams guy. He's like a Swiss Army knife in the way that you can use him. And you've seen him on the field actually be respectable. Now, when it comes to Deuce Vaughn, I do think this is probably the end of the road for him.
Okay.
I don't see, and we've talked about it with Broadus and stuff in the G-Bag Nation, you don't provide anything from a special team standpoint.
Yeah.
That is a very tough sell. If you're not my starter, then you've got to do something on special teams, and he doesn't. So I don't know how you can really make the case that he deserves a roster spot.
Okay, I want to go back to what we were just talking about, because somebody texted this in, and I'll have to admit, I have started to kind of question this from that it's 6'8", 2. There's no way that if you try to stash Moff on the practice squad, he will get snatched right up. Okay, can you guys walk me through this? Because I know OTAs and minicamp and everything. He was a 7th round pick.
Right.
Like, people talk about it like he's guaranteed to make the team and all this and that. He wasn't taken in the 3rd or 4th round. Like, he's a 7th round pick. I know if he shows out in the preseason, that changes everything, but we don't know that.
Right, exactly. If he shows out in the preseason and then you try and pull a fast one on the league and put him on the practice squad, that's probably not going to work out for you. But I think if he shows out in preseason, then you're going, okay, there's a spot for him on game days.
How do you feel about Awesome Richards, especially like we'll say versus somebody like Nate Thomas in terms of the swing tackle?
I have been a fan of Awesome Richards for a while. And if it wasn't for some of the unfortunate injury stuff where that's been really the biggest thing holding him back. But I know like Nick Harris, we had on Love of the Star, me and Walchuk were chopping it up with him at the end of mini camps. And he was shouting out Awesome Richards as a guy who's impressed. And he's got that versatility. I could easily see him being the swing tackle, and he would be my guess as to be the guy that gets that job.
Okay.
And if he ends up having to be, if Tyler Guyton just completely falls flat on his face, from what I understand, they want to do everything in their power to keep from moving Tyler Smith to left tackle.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, Awesome Richards and just the overall depth of this offensive line right now, I feel pretty good about it.
How do you feel about Kenneth Murray Jr. versus Jack Sanborn, just in terms of more likely to maybe get more playing time or maybe just make an impact?
Yeah, I think Sanborn is the guy that I'm more excited about. It sounds like Kenneth Murray is going to get the first opportunity to be the green dot guy, which is fine. He's a veteran and he's been there, done that. But I think from a production standpoint, I have no reason to believe that he's going to be a plus player for you, especially in the run game where you need it so much right now. Jack Sanborn is a guy that I'm surprised that the Bears let him walk out. I know they got a new regime and all that kind of stuff, new coaching staff, but to me, he's going to be one of those guys where can he make an Eric Kendricks type of impact? He knows the defense very well. Solid contributor. I'm much more excited about him than Kenneth Murray.
Okay, so at a time when the Cowboys make a lot of kind of like dink and dunk free agent moves, this is one that you're like, I'm in. I like this one a lot.
100%.
All right. Is this the last stand for Jalen Brooks?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels that way. I mean, how many more times can you keep going back to that well?
Yeah.
And he's going to have opportunities, especially with this wide receiver group outside of Pickens and Lamb. There's opportunities here. If you can't unseat...
Do you think they're... Sorry to... I apologize for jumping in there and cutting you off, but do you really think that? Do you not think that they're like, and so then there's Tolbert, Turpin, and the greatest blocking wide receiver of all time, Jonathan Mingo, and that's what we're going with?
I guess you're right in terms of the status and the investment that was made in those guys.
Yeah.
You don't want to cut ties with a Tolbert or something like that.
Right.
Turpin, of course, is as safe as it can be. He's the guy that I'm honestly most excited about from a wide receiver standpoint, not named Pickens and Lamb, because Turpin to me, Turpin's fantastic.
Okay. Follow up question.
The explosiveness and running back versatility, all that kind of stuff.
All right. So this is a double up question. And you can go back to Brooks if you want, of course. But do you believe that there will be more usage of Turpin?
I do. I do. And it flashed a little bit there just in the OTAs and stuff. And we see plenty of things in OTAs or even in training camp that get us excited. And then all of a sudden the season gets here and it's like, wait, did we actually see that?
Yeah.
So it's fair to question it. But you saw late last year them putting Turpin in the backfield and you were getting chunk runs out of that.
Yeah.
He is an easy first down stealer, whether it's you handing him the ball or just a quick swing pass out of the backfield. His speed is just an immediate 7 to 10 yard gain. You can steal first downs that way.
Yeah.
It would be malpractice not to get him involved, especially when Schottenheimer talks about speed and wanting speed, speed, speed. Well, who's synonymous with speed on this Cowboys offense? Like, really?
Yeah.
It's only Turpin.
Yeah.
Nobody else is. Hopefully Blue, obviously. Yeah. But even CeeDee Lamb, he's one of the best receivers in the league. He's not synonymous with being some type of burner.
Yeah.
So if you're talking speed, you're talking Turpin.
Mazi Smith. We saw some level of improvement.
No.
But okay.
No.
I was going to say, still a disappointment. What do you believe the team will put on his plate?
Well, I think that they want him to be, can you be a first and second down player? Can you be a short yardage player? I just need you to come in here and be a guy that can eat up blockers, eat up double teams, keep linebackers clean, and on rundowns, be a guy. That's your only job. That is your only job. I have no faith whatsoever that he can do that. And it's one of my biggest frustrations with this offseason. They keep throwing, so we'll give you the money. I get it. Okay. You're going to bring in Solomon Thomas. I like that. Cool. Yeah. You bring in what? Winfrey now from the UFL. Just a bunch of get up field three tech guys. Who is your run stopper?
Yeah.
Roy Lopez is some no name dude that literally no one knows who this guy is. The Detroit Lions signed him for 1 year, $3 million, and he's going to go eat up double teams and be a run-stopping monster, and you could have had him for $3 million on a one-year deal, and the Cowboys, I'm not sure they know he exists.
So, one more quick question. John Stephens Jr., a couple of years ago, looked like he was on his way to making the roster before he got hurt. Brevin Spanford did it last year. What do you think about the prospect of maybe it's Tyler Neville, maybe it's Rivaldo Fairweather, is going to have a shot to make the team as an undrafted free agent?
Man, this is going to be tough because you mentioned the Lipke factor and do they make it like the tight end. When you start getting down to the numbers, you have the three guys that are clearly Ferguson, Scooney, and they love them some Spanford.
They do.
So I don't know how much room you're going to have unless, you know, barring some type of injury.
And that feels like usually a lot of these times, it's not like they didn't like the player. It's just, it's a numbers game.
903, Eric, you're sleeping on Jay Toya. The guy who does not know how to do the haka dance, but he was selected by the Cowboys in the 7th round out of UCLA. I will say that's the one hope that you can grasp going into camp, and hopefully he makes a name for himself. I know Walchuk had like a 4th round grade on him. So if that proves true, then hey, that could be your saving grace at the position, but you're still banking on a 7th round unknown.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll do another giveaway, but also it's time for the Chi Block starring Eric Chiafalo.
This is the baseball show of record.
Damn right.
We'll prove it next.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.